if you're looking to a politician for how you're going to get your sustenance in the future, forget it.
Hi, I'm Ted Ballacher with Reason TV, and today I'll be speaking with Michael Covell. Covell is a best-selling financial author and director of the new documentary Broke, The New American Dream. So Michael, why did you make this film?
Somebody had to make it.
But there have been plenty of documentaries already about the financial crisis.
There's been documentaries that have been blame somebody or give somebody an excuse. There hasn't been a documentary where somebody actually says, hey, this is what happened, and we all have to take responsibility, and here's a way out.
And I like how your documentary did just that, zeroed in on the individual. What is your big picture advice to the one guy watching?
Cut your losses. I mean, if you make a bad investment, get out.
But people don't like to do that. A lot of the film goes into why buy and hold is a bad idea. Why is that a bad idea?
You know, it's a strategy. Buy and hold is just a strategy. It's saying, this is how I'm going to trade the markets. And if you're using a trading strategy that doesn't make money after a dozen years, you have to say to yourself, well, maybe if I hold on for another dozen, it will work. Or you have to reassess and say, is this really a good strategy?
What do you hope will really stick with the viewer?
Politicians do not care about you. Politicians exist for one reason, to sit in a chair. They want to sit in a chair because that chair gives them power. And so when they come on TV and they tell you that they care about you and they want to help you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, no, when the camera goes off, they talk to their aides about what the polls are and how they can keep power and whether they can get reelected, et cetera, et cetera. See, they groove off that.
And they're making they're political decisions and short-term political decisions.
Exactly. Well, they're short-term political decisions just to keep getting elected. Mm-hmm. And so that's a real huge issue, is to get people to understand that politicians are not your daddy, you know. And if you think they are, well, you're probably going to be broke by the time you retire, and you will be one of those people that, you know, you're looking around during retirement ages and you're, geez, what am I going to eat today? How about cat food? If you're looking to a politician for how you're going to get your sustenance in the future, forget it.
Nowadays, after, you know, we've had this big downturn, people are more confused than ever. What do you say to someone who's just overwhelmed by all the noise on both sides? What could you say to that person to start to right his own financial ship?
If I'm advising somebody and you're really being brutally honest with somebody, you say, look, you got to take a step back. Perhaps you did everything wrong. You know, you put no money down, you bought a condo, you lost your rear end, but now you've got to do something different. And you got to take a step back and you got to say, okay, I got to go back to like when I was a little kid running the lemonade stand. I put the lemonade stand up. If someone buys something from me, I make money. If they don't, I lose money, or I don't make any money. And you got to get back to the basics. I mean, life is really pretty simple. You know, you produce, you get rewarded for it. If you don't produce, you don't get rewarded for it. And occasionally these crazy bubble times happen where everybody feels like they're getting, you know, money coming from heaven, but that's usually fleeting.
You mentioned the role of government. You mentioned that government is not your daddy. What, and government is one of the main villains in your film. What specifically did the folks in Washington do wrong?
Well, first off, if I don't answer that question, I take a step back. How did we get to the point in 2010 where we are today? And I say it starts with one thing. It starts with Netscape going public in the summer of 1995. And that created a euphoria that probably this country had not seen for decades upon decades. And that euphoria created what we all know now as the dot-com bubble. And the bubble did not last, and it popped in the spring of 2000. And when that bubble popped in the spring of 2000, my perspective, the powers that be, whether it's politicians, the Fed, et cetera, they said, you know what, we've got to save the Dow. We've got to save the Dow. And they dropped interest rates down to 1%. I guess they bottomed out in the spring of 2003. And getting rates down to 1% did something. It created another bubble, created the real estate bubble. And so when you look at these things, you say, well, what do politicians do wrong? You know, there it is. They rigged the market. They rigged it. And they rigged it through interest rate manipulation. And that interest rate manipulation created, I mean, the interest rate manipulation that came after the dot-com bubble created another bubble. And we're paying for it still today. So I argue it all started with Netscape.
You're also very tough on the media in your documentary. What role did the media play in getting us into this mess?
Well, they're just cheerleaders. I mean, seriously. I mean, if you turn on CNBC in the morning and you say, "Hey, I'm going to make some money today. Let's see what Bartiromo and Kramer have to say." I mean, really? I mean, you and I know some of the traders on this planet that do exceptionally well, and they do not turn on CNBC in the morning and go, "What does Mark Haynes have to say?" You know. So at the end of the day, CNBC is a business, and it's a very successful business. They make a lot of money. And the business is for you to turn on and watch the advertisements that come across the screen, and that's how they make money. But that has nothing to do with you making money.
And Jim Cramer is a guy that you zero in on in particular. One interesting point in your movie is that when he mentioned a stock, the next day it would have, his mentioning the stock would have a sizable impact on that stock price, correct?
Right. Barron's had done some research, and they had looked at it. I think it was like on average like 2% boost, and it didn't necessarily last, but it showed that there are a lot of people that, you know, they're sitting there at their house, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, you know, I don't know how to make money. I don't know what to do." And this guy Kramer, they said he ran a really successful hedge fund, and you know, he's kind of loud and crazy, and hey, he says to buy something today, and I guess I should buy it. Well, what's the difference between that and going to Vegas and, you know, ponying it up at Mandalay Bay and going to the craps table? It's the same thing.
You mentioned gambling. One of the most interesting parts about your film, I think, was the time you took to compare the lottery to poker. You have some famous poker players in there as well. Can you talk about that?
I'm pretty passionate about that because, I mean, I look at it really that it's one of the things that we really have trouble with as society is math and numbers. How do we look at numbers and math? And the government, these people that say they're going to help us, are in charge of this big scam called the lottery, which is designed to take money from poor people's pockets. And, you know, I think with the numbers, I think it's like 35% or some number, like 40% of people that make under 35K believe the lottery is their best chance to get $500,000 for retirement. That's sad. That's really sad. That was organized by a government.
Everybody's trying to make sense of the financial downturn and decide, you know, aha, this is what caused it.
We had two bubbles back to back, the dot-com bubble and the real estate bubble. And we can think up every sophisticated explanation, but people wanted to get rich fast. And then the 100-year flood where these things burst actually happens every 3 to 4 years. It's not just like, you know, these situations happen, they happen more regularly than we think. I mean, I think the only public policy that I really put my, and I say, hey, that was really, at least for the real estate bubble, was the lowering of interest rates. Is that really, there's no doubt in my mind that that created the euphoria. That was the gasoline.
Do you think we're going to learn from our mistakes if you look into the future?
Of course not.
Good.
Of course
good,
not.
Yeah.
Of course not. What are we going to learn? We're not learning anything. I mean, I think they release a bunch of programs today that's going to keep real estate floating on air even further. And, you know, whatever that, you know, you hope one day that maybe real estate will find its natural floor, whatever that is, or perhaps the Dow will find its natural floor. But no, I don't think we're going to learn anything. I mean, I hope we do, but there's too many people that, you know, they don't want to because it's hard work. It's hard work to know what's going on. It's hard work to understand what some of the great investors do, what some of the great poker players do. That takes time and effort. It's much easier that if, you know, the leader of the free world stands up at a podium on Labor Day and says he's going to give everyone goodies, and there's a bunch of people standing behind him smiling, that's much easier for a lot of people. And I'm not pointing to the right or the left. I'm saying, from my standpoint, most politicians really add zero value.